be quiet while we're in the church. And she said, because they're asleep. Y'all catch on to that a little bit. I'm glad I'm saved, are you? I worship the Lord today because He was the one that saved me. It was His grace that bought me by faith in Him. And we live and move and have our being in Him. We're going to be in the ninth chapter, book of Acts, or wherever the Lord leads us to go, that's where we'll go. My chapter. Here's a man that wrote about 13 books of the New Testament. His name was Saul of Tarsus. And he was a religious man. Probably more religious than some Christians are Christians, are you right? There is no such thing as true religion. There is only one true religion, and that is visit the widows and the fathers of in their affliction and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now that's the only true religion. Every religion in the world other than that, that's our show of what's happened on the inside, is defiled, it's wrong, it's cursed because they're trying to come some other way than Jesus Christ. All the religions are cursed because they're trying to come some other way than by Jesus Christ. So Saul, a man that was a religious man, when he was called by his religion to go out even to kill the Christians. Now he was a terrorist because he put terror in the hearts of the people because they were afraid of even his name because he was there to persecute, to have them put in jail, to have Christians killed. And so when they hear the name of Saul of Tarsus, they were afraid because that was what he was doing. And in the Bible said, in the last days, they'll kill you thinking they're doing the will of God. Can you hear me? Is this high enough or does it need to go up some? Can you hear it, sister? Can you hear this? Okay. Is it too loud? Okay. All right. I got you. All right. So the reason we're here is to hear the Word of God, right? That should be the reason that we're here, is to hear the Word of God and worship the Lord and to grow in grace and faith, right? So here's a man that was out. His job was to go out and persecute the Christians. And I'm sure in his heart he probably hated Christians because he thought they were wrong. Just like a lot of people today, they think Christianity is just a crutch that you lean on. But thank God if that's a crutch, I love it. I love the crutch. Because he's able to keep me under that day. And that gives me hope. So it don't matter if Saul comes against me or anybody else comes against me. I have Christ on my side. And God be for you. Who can be against you? That means nobody can be against you if God be for you. Well, the only reason God is for me is because His Son is my Lord. And He bought me with a great price. It was more than silver and gold. It was His blood. He went into Holy of Holies and offered up His own sacrifice. Before, it was sacrifice animals, and they would offer up sacrifice of animals' blood. But even if a man would offer up his blood, it wouldn't mean nothing. Because a man had sin in his blood, so they had to find someone that could be a sacrifice that would take away God's wrath because man had gone so deep in sin. So Jesus took a body on just like ours. And He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So He's able to help us in time that we're tempted because He knows how we're tempted. And the Scripture said, God will not allow us to be tempted above we are able to bear, but will with the temptation give you a way out that you can bear it. I'm getting on now. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, talk about Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know, in your Bible, if you've got a Bible with the red letters, it's talking about Christ speaking, right? And so he fell to the ground. He saw a light from heaven. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, you know where he sat down at? He sat down in heaven at the right hand of majesty on high. And when I think about when he appeared to Saul and he saw a light so bright, listen, you can't sit near the God Almighty unless it comes over on you too, the glow. And so when he was on the road to Damascus, all of a sudden he seen a bright light and he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Whenever you touch one of God's, you're touching him. Jesus bought us with his blood, so if you touch one of his, you've touched Jesus. And he said, "Why persecute me?" He wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the Christians that were bought by the blood. God, Jesus said this, "They hated me, they'll hate you also. They persecuted me, they'll persecute you also." And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He didn't even know who he was. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And that word, it could be goads, or like an ox would kick against the pricks on the plow. It was sharp, and every time that ox would kick back to kick somebody, he'd hit that goad and it'd stick him. So when you try to persecute Jesus, you're running against him. You'll get taken care of by the goads, right? The sharp points. Because if God be for you, who could be against you? And he trembling and admonished and astonished said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now this man was on the way to kill Christians, to slaughter Christians, have them put in prison, and tried to stop this way. But let me tell you something. When the enemy comes in against Jesus, he'll either bow or he'll burn. And if you come against one of God's people, you're coming against Jesus. And therefore, isn't it somehow God can turn a man that's out to kill you, a terrorist, and turn him in and make him bow down before him and accept him? He didn't. A lot of people said that he accepted Christ right there on the road to Damascus. He didn't accept Christ. They said when he saw the great light that he accepted. That's not true. We'll see that in a minute. So when he went on his knees, he heard the voice. And he understood why, because it was in Hebrew. Jesus was speaking in Hebrew. And those that were with him, all them soldiers that were there to kill the Christians, they had to lead their captain away by his hand, because you know what happened? When he saw that light, he was blinded. Had to lead the man away that was leading him to kill the Christian. Hey, God can just turn around. Have you ever had people that run against you, and you get on your knees and pray for them and fast and pray, and those same people that was your enemy can turn around and be your friend? The man had need of finding out where the people were, the Saul did, but now he is in a place that he needs help. The Lord wants everybody saved, even your enemies, right? So read on. "And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man." God will let you see things that other people don't see. "And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open," now listen, here's his eyes open, "and he saw no man." That means he was blinded. His eyes were open, but he couldn't see. "But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink." I don't think I would either if I saw something scare me that bad. When you hear a voice that says, "Why do you persecute me?" I think I'd do some thinking there. And I'm sure the Bible says he was praying. "And he was there three days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth.'" Now what do you think he got to praying for? He was scared. He done heard a voice from heaven in a bright light, and he knew that somebody was after him. He knew it was Jesus, because he told him it was Jesus. which he had heard. The Christians even told him about that way, that Jesus was the way. And he was the resurrection and life. And now he's met him. And now he said, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he may receive his sight. Now he's seen a vision while he's praying. And he said, he's going to come, and a man named Ananias is going to come, and he's going to pray for you that you'll receive your sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord. I know he said it like that, because he'd already heard what Saul was doing. He said, Lord, I have heard by many that this man, how much evil he has done to the saints of Jerusalem. That's our problem. We hear too much of other things. It was the Lord that said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And somebody else said, you're sick and you've got cancer, you're dying, there's no hope. Who told you that? Who told you you were stupid? Who told you that you weren't going to make it? Or who told you that you couldn't have this or you couldn't have that? Who told you that? It wasn't God. God was the one that told you that I'm the Lord that healeth thee. I'm the one that provides for you. I'll supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. She was just saying it. The Lord is, or say it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Who told you you would want? Who told you wasn't going to make it? Who told you your children wasn't going to make it? Who told you that your children were, it's impossible that they'll ever get better? Who told you that? Jesus didn't tell you, by his stripes I'm healed. He said, even your children shall be blessed. Your seed shall be blessed. Who told you that it wasn't the Lord? Whose report will we believe? Will we believe man, or will we believe the report of the Lord? Who will you believe? I want to believe the report of the Lord. It's Him that's going to raise me up. When I'm down, He'll lift me up. He'll make me to walk on high ground. He'll bless me coming in. Bless me go out. You know why I'm blessed? Because He said in the Old Testament, and I know y'all don't believe in that, but He's holding an old blessing. He said, if you'll do what's right, and I do what's right in Jesus Christ, because it was His blood that bought me. It was His blood that saved me. It's His blood that's keeping me. And He's able to keep me in that day. And I'm blessed because of this one reason. Because of Jesus I'm blessed. And because that I'm redeemed from the curse of law. Third chapter of Galatians. I've been redeemed from the curse of law by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the faith of Jesus Christ, I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know. You won't be blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed going down. I'm blessed. He'll put me in the valley so I can get up on the mountain. Amen. He'll strengthen me on the inside so that I can overcome all. There's nothing I cannot overcome by Christ Jesus, because I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened me. All things. There's nothing impossible with God as long as I put my faith in Him. Faith builds us up. Faith builds us where we're supposed to be. And the reason we don't have no victory is because we don't get into the Word of God and find out what God said. Let them come. If you roll the stone, it's going to come back on you. If you dig a ditch, you're going to fall in the ditch. God's people will go over. When Pharaoh said, I'll get them now. When Jesus delivered them out, and it was Jesus, because there's nothing that was done that was not done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we see was done by Jesus. And so Jesus delivered them out of Egypt with a mighty hand, destroyed the land of Egypt. And then finally, they let them go. So they came down to the Red Sea. And there was no way, enemy behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, and Moses stretched out his rod. And when he did, the Red Sea opened up, enemy coming to kill him, and they went across on dry ground. God made a strong wind that dried up the mud and everything. They went across on dry ground, and as they got on the other side, here comes Pharaoh's army, he's going to get them back. You know why? Because they were laborers for him, they did everything, so he's going to get them back. And with his chariots and all his strength and his army, he went after him right through the night. Look, this man's supposed to be a smart man. And you got walls of water on both sides as far as you can see. And they went across on dry ground. Now, I don't know about you, but even though you know God did it, whereas I'm walking through the water and I'm up I think maybe I would run, you know. But they had, they were so stupid, and that's, I call them stupid, even though they thought there's why. Here they're going to go after God's people, who God had opened up water, and it just went on dry ground, and then they essayed to do it themselves. And when they got in the middle of the sea, which some people said is only 6 inches deep at that time, but that's an even greater miracle, but it was such a wall of water that when the people of God got on the other side, instantly, just the weight of the water would kill you. Wouldn't drown, you'd die from the weight of the water coming on. So people that are not saved, even though they want to know God by the wisdom of this world, which God put that wisdom in this world, they cannot know God. They can't know God's ways. Only the Christians can know unless somebody else tells you God's ways. His ways, he said, are not, your ways are not my ways. Neither are my ways your ways. If you want to know God's ways, it's written down. If you have an enemy that comes against you, what did God say? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. If a brother or sister transgress against you and they will not repent, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. He don't want you repaying. He said, I repay. You do somebody wrong, it's going to come back on you. If you do somebody wrong, you should go right then and make it right. Repent. Because you know what? There's the only way that your way, your faith is going to work, and that's because that you love one another and you forgive one another your trespasses. Ain't you glad that when things that should destroy you, that God will protect you, and the people that even accuse you or anything else, do you know that they'll fall in their own iniquity? Because the thing is, when the righteous is attacked, God will allow someone that he despises even to take their place. People that in the world that would die, God wipes out these people and protects them. Isn't it amazing to me? I told y'all, and I shouldn't be telling you this, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. I was speeding. This guy, we pulled up the red light, and he thought he had some power. I was going to show him he didn't. You know, he's still got a little bit of kid in me, okay? So when he floored gas, I floored mine, and I went off to left him, right? So I looked in my rearview mirror, and I'm in front of him. But I seen the man. The light was blue. I immediately let off the gas, and I was coming up to 28 to get off of not the interstate, but the parkway. And I seen him back there, so I shot down off toward Knoxville. And that guy that was on, he went straight ahead, still had it mashed down the gas. And so here comes that cop, and he, right where I'd turned off on 28, I was down about most of the bottom of the hill. But I was being a law-abiding citizen. I wasn't speeding. I was just going off ramp at the speed I should. He pulled up the top of the hill, and he looked like he said, trying to make a decision which way he wants to go. And all of a sudden, he just went on after that other guy. He took my place. I was saying, thank you, Lord. And I'm not rejoicing the guy got a ticket, but he was speeding. Should learn lessons, shouldn't he? Shouldn't have been speeding. That's the way I look at it. How many times has God done that for you? Where you should have been put down, where you should have been in jail. How many times should you be under the jail and God delivered you? That's the kind of God. He loves us. He's merciful. And he knows there's still kid in all of us. You know, just because you wrinkled don't mean that you're old. I'm telling you, just because you wrinkled don't mean you're old. Inside, I don't care how old you are, inside you still feel young. You know why? The spirit didn't get older. It's the person on the outside gets older. This spirit will always be the same. And as you feed it the Word of God, it'll grow in more power and all. And so God said in 104 Psalm, or 103rd Psalm, he said, I put in good words in your mouth that whereby your youth is renewed as eagle. And I said that last week. But he puts good words in your mouth that your youth is renewed as eagle. This is, an outward man's precious day by day, but the inward man is renewed day by day. We got somebody on our side. And he's merciful. The Bible said he's merciful, long-suffering, not willing any should perish. He loves the sinner. Do you know that? Sometimes I think sinners live better than Christians do. I'm talking about the way they live the moral life. Sometimes I think sinners live better than Christians do. You know why? I had a neighbor that he was always doing good to everybody. He was religious, but he didn't go to church. And he was a fine moral man that you'd ever find. But he wasn't saved. Now, I don't even know if he's saved yet. I've witnessed to him all the time, but he wasn't saved. But as far as morally, but see, the thing is, what you can't do, you can't see the heart. God looks on the heart. He sees your heart. So he knows. I'm just talking about the show. Do you know there's people go to church and you think they're the best Christian in the world, and then you find out years later that they got saved? And you say, well, I thought they was already saved. When you get to heaven, you're going to see a lot of people that you didn't think would be there, and then you're going to see a lot of people you thought would be there ain't going to be there. Why? Because a lot of them put on a good show. But when they leave here, they're still cussing. They're still cheating, lying, being deceitful. What's quite in here? You mean to tell me that y'all ever been there? I guess nobody ever been a sinner? Jesus came in the world to save the lost. He came in the world to save the sinner, not the self-righteous. And a lot of people, you know, I've said it before, but the self-righteous person, I feel sorry for them, because they don't see themselves in need of a Savior. And until you realize that you're a sinner, you've got to realize you're a sinner before you can be saved. How are you going to be saved if you don't realize that Jesus came in the world to save the sinner? And Paul said, the man we're talking about, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. And I wonder sometimes, if I wasn't the chief of sinners. He said, well, you was good, your mama was a good Christian woman. I know that. But I was a good person, but yet I was a bad person. I say 50-50. Okay. I seen Linda look at 75-25. I've told you before that she said, you've got such a filthy mouth, I'll go nowhere with you no more. She said, you don't care what you say to any person, any woman, or anybody else. You've got no respect for nobody with your filthy mouth. I said, you saying I cuss? You don't mean that I cuss. I was so filthy mouth, I didn't even realize how bad I was. And you know what the first thing Jesus took out of my life? Is the cursing. First thing. He said, I ain't never cussed. Well, you're a good religious person. I never drink. You're a good religious person. I've never cheated nobody. You're a good religious person. Good, proud of you. It's good that some people are, because it would be miserable life to live in. I've never done anything wrong. I've always lived a good life. Raised up in a good family. Now, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about people that says that. Raised up in a good family. Always been a Christian. Got spankled when I was a kid. You went in as a dry sinner and come out with a sprinkled sinner. You know? Because it don't save you. You must be born again. I've been there. I know what a sinner does. And you want me to tell you what? Had pleasure in it. There's pleasure in sin for a season. I enjoy being a sinner. I don't want to be no Christian. Don't do this. Don't do that. I said, I don't need none of that. You know what? You got to make up your mind. One of these days you won't go to heaven. Because if you continue in the way you are, there's going to be a trumpet sound pretty quick. Jesus come after his church, and once he does, without spot and blemish, he's the one who's got to clean you up, but he's coming after a church without spot and blemish, and if you're not ready to go, you're not going. It takes the blood, it takes the faith, the grace of God that's in us to go to heaven. And I want to go. I don't want to be left in this place, too much torment. You might think that people that go out and commit certain sins that they're worse than others. Some of them just do those real little sins, little white lies and little white sins, and so they're okay. But the people that tell big lies, they're terrible. Sin is sin, brother. It's got to be put under the blood. The original sins that we had in the beginning, it's under the blood. But if we commit sin other time, we got to go right back to the Lord and ask Him to forgive them and ask Him to cleanse us of that thing. David, a man of God, that he murdered, he lied, he stole, he done just about everything that you could do wrong, David did. And you know what God said? He's a man after my own heart. You know why? Let me tell you why. wasn't because that it was wasn't because he was a man of sin that, but it was probably what he wept before God after he sinned, and he went before God and he said, God, forgive me, create me a clean heart, restore right spirit unto me, take not thy spirit from me. Then, Lord, I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. It takes that repentance before God can use us. Sometimes we get out of line, and you know what God's able to do? He puts you right back in line. It's like making success. When he started driving, success was in the back seat, and he was trying to drive, and he kept straying across the line. And she said, get it in line, get it in line. You need somebody like that in the back seat, right, when you're trying to drive. Get it in line. And you know what he did? When she went to get her driver's license, she was doing the same thing. And I said, tell her, get it in line. Sometimes we need to hear a voice that said, get it in line. Get it in line. Maybe we'll get success and ride around with us. At least you get to remind you, get you to get it in line. Hey, let me tell you something. There ain't a person in here that don't feel God. And there's sometimes, I don't care how good you look, you need to go right back to where you was and say, God, cleanse me, purify me. Because we got to make up our mind one of these days that we're going to serve God. But when is that going to be? Oh, tomorrow. Maybe day after tomorrow. But one of these days we're going to get it right. There has to be a time that you come to place and say, oh God, I surrender all. I'm through. I'm through with all these things. I surrender all. And you know what? You have to admit that one of these days you've got to straighten up our lives. So we, you know, there's people that love God. I believe they love God, but they dropped. They love God, but they dropped. They believe that they can just go on and just live a life of do nothing. Remember the talents. The one had five, the other had ten. I mean, the other one had five, another had two. And two of them that had the two doubled it. And the one that had five doubled it. But the one that didn't do anything, he said, I know that you're an austere man, requiring that which is that you didn't lay down. And he said, your own mouth convicts you. You know why? God gave us all talents and he wants to use it for his glory. He wants to use it for his glory because we're dropping and not picking up the cross daily. He said, unless you pick up your cross daily and follow me, you're not worthy of me. I mean, I think if I can figure that right with my bright West Virginia mind, that if he says pick it up daily, that means if I pick it up today and lay it down, then I'm not picking it up tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. Right now is acceptable. And I'm saying that the salvation means deliverance. When you get saved, it's deliverance. You're delivered away from the things of the world. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But sometime we got to pick the cross up again and carry that cross of letting people know you're a child of God. And when we get the sin out of doubt and unbelief or whatever the sin is in your life, get the sin out, then God will, because the word's been choked off, then you'll begin to tell people about Jesus, like Paul, like David said. Saul was a man that persecuted church, but when God got through with him, on the road to Damascus, if you read it, it says, Ananias came to him, he said, Ananias says, Saul, why do you tarry? Rise and be baptized. That didn't mean water baptized, being baptized in the body of Christ. Rise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord. For the scripture said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. Y'all hear me? And it wasn't that like to save him when he went to Damascus, and it's got three accounts of it in the Bible. And so I think it's in the 19th chapter, I think, of Acts. It says, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord. And when he did, then he got saved. God don't save him any different than he saved me. He had to call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it takes that part of confessing Lord. Remember that he said, Lord, Jesus is Lord. And a man that was out to kill him is now on the side of the Christian. Can God do some mighty work? a man that was there to kill, God turned it all around, and now he's fighting for the Christian. When you find out the truth, you want to get in the right way. Because many years people have walked thinking they were all right and never knew the day that Jesus came into life. You asked, probably out there on the street, you asked 100 people, and probably 85 of them will say that they're saved. And you might find 15% that says, yes, I'm lost, and I need a Savior. That's why it says, narrow and straight is the path that leads to eternal life, and very few be to find it. You know why? Because they're leaving Jesus out. And he said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. And so just everybody that's religious or self-righteous, they say, look, I don't sin too bad. I'm better than a lot of Christians. I'm better than my neighbor. So it's not weighed in the balance. He said, you're going to be weighed in the balances and found wanting. Because Jesus is the way, truth, and life. How would you like to wake up in the morning already in a place of torment, waiting to be judged and cast in the lake of fire? I don't think people fear God anymore. I really don't. The fear of the Lord will cause you to depart from evil. And the fear of the Lord will bring you to God, because it says the fear of the Lord, you begin to get wise when you fear the Lord. And it's up to us whether we're going to fear Him or not. You know what I do? I'm going to pray, God, put more fear in the place I fear you so much that I'm going to walk with you in obedience. Life's too short. Y'all agree with that? Life's too short. So a man that had come to kill the Christians is now on their side. And how many people has that happened to? They hated you, they didn't care nothing about you, and they got saved, and now they're on your side. If a man really becomes a Christian, he's going to do what God wants him to do. And then he said to Ananias, he said, go tell Paul the things that he'll suffer for me. And that's when I'd probably walk off. I said, you know. So Saul was persecuted. He was beaten. He was sawn asunder. He was put in the depths of the sea. Not the depths, but in the sea for 3 days and three nights or something like that. But here he is, night and day. Here he was in the sea suffering for Christ. He was beaten for Christ. He was stoned for Christ. But look where he's at now. He is seated right alongside Christ now. And you said, nah, he ain't. That's Matthias. I know, and it's Saul. And he said, I'm the least of all the apostles. I did more than them all, but I'm the least apostle because I persecuted Christ. But he said, it wasn't me, but I labor more than all. And it wasn't me, but Christ in me. It wasn't him. He gave the Lord the credit for it. The Lord was the one that worked it in him. In the book of Genesis, the Lord told him that the day you eat there of that forbidden fruit, that you would die. And they eat of it. And say, ha, see there? I didn't die. Look here. I'm not dead. He said, today you either you shall die. I'm not dead. The day. Not dead. I'm alive. But what they didn't know is inside they died. Right? And so the Lord come to him and said, Adam, where art thou? He said, I was afraid, so I hid myself. He said, because I was naked. He said, who told you you were naked? Now I'm asking you, who told you you was a failure? Who told you that you don't have to be saved? Who told you after you get saved that you're not saved? Who's the one that caused you your trouble all during the week? Tossed your brain. This mind is the battlefield, right? And the enemy attacks our brain. During the week, all times, he's trying to attack you. And as a man thinketh, so is he. As he can get your brain, get your mind, that's where you learned about God. And it goes in your mind and then goes in your spirit. As you read God's Word, it begins to go down in your spirit. But it still comes out. And as a man thinketh, so is he. If you listen to the Word of God, God will lead you and guide you into all truth. And He'll put power in your life wherever you can overcome anything that there is. All things are possible to them that believe. And I'm going to close there. I bet y'all want to say praise the Lord. Last week, it was 59 minutes. I got tired even hearing it. We're on the internet now on YouTube, so you can go on our site, and they're getting it all worked out where you can just go on our website and click on it, and you can hear the message of me and Chris, and we wanted to even get more out to the public where they know where the church is and all that. So keep praying. We're going to have the best equipment that there is. You say, oh, we can't afford that. You'll see. We'll have a move of God in this area that I'm said in my mouth. You just remember I told you that. This church ain't just stopped here. It's going to go out. And you're a part of it. You're the one that made it. And thank God for every one of you. We need everybody because we are a part of one another. And I want to see the church grow. I want to see people saved. I want the world to just hear the message of that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. This ain't something that it's not a game to play. It's real. And Jesus will come back. If you can't see the time is flying, as it says in the book of Daniel, it's already, I mean, this is February, the end of February, and it was just 2 weeks before December, as long as I can remember. But since then, we're at the end of February, and it says, in the last days, time shall be changed. That should show you something. Look at the winter, the real cold, snowy winter we've had. It's terrible. Wind blowing and snow piling up by 6-7 feet. We ain't had no winter. We ain't in the winter. The first time that I've ever been in my life that I've seen no winter. We've only had some snowflakes. Does that show us anything? And the places that didn't have snow are now having snow and cold weather. He said, even things will be changed and people will be running to and fro. Where are you going? Where are you going? Why are you going so fast? Well, I'm going to Grandma's house, and I've got to get there real quick. She's got beans and potatoes and all. I want to be there. I had to go to the bathroom, that's why. Or people lying. And the Bible even says, lie not one another, so you put off the old man. It's easy to lie, isn't it? We have to check up, say, Lord, help me not to lie. Amen? Now, what I said from my heart, I'm going, but I'm not going. That's it. If you need anything from God, He's waiting. It's up to you. You don't have to come to the altar to receive Christ as your Savior right where you sit at. If you'll mean it with all your heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me my sins. I receive you as my Lord right now. If you pray a prayer like that and you mean it, and you'll openly, unashamedly, from the heart, tell somebody, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord. He'll change you right there. That quick. And you'll be a new person. You'll receive Jesus as Lord. If you need healing, so let if there be any sick among you, unless they got cancer, or if they haven't got any leukemia or anything like that, if there's any sick among you, accept those. That's not in the Bible. I don't know where you got it at, but that's a voice you might be hearing. But the thing is I don't care if it's cancer. Is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders' church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus and by the power of faith. If they forgive, if they've sinned, they will be forgiven, and the Lord shall lift them up. Now, listen, let me get it straightened out now. If you call James and Chris and Frank and Gene up here and let them anoint you with oil, that's in the Bible, right? Does it say James and Chris? I can't heal you, but I know somebody can. And he's here, right here, right today, to heal you, but you've got to believe it. And speak of things that are not as they were. Speak of things that are not as they were. That's what faith does. Faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you could see Jesus come here, I'd probably be in the church. Okay, Lord, heal me. He is here. You have to receive that by faith. So anything you need from the Lord, He's here to do it. And all we are, we're just, and I don't understand that either, because you know, if a mailman gets a letter, certified letter to bring to you, which most people don't like them things, and he brings a certified letter to your door, and you say, I don't want it. I don't want it. And getting mad at the poor mailman because he brought you a certified letter. It wasn't him that sent the letter. I'm just like that mailman. I'm bringing you the letter. Don't get mad at me. The Lord's one said it. It wasn't me. He said, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders. Let them run with all in the name of the Lord. If they commit any sins, they shall be forgiven. The Lord shall lift them up. Same thing with anything with God. He wants you to come and receive it. And the thing is, once you're prayed for, you should receive it right there. And you said, well, I don't want them praying me. I don't like them. That's your problem. Because the Lord was the one who said it. We just do what He said. Amen? Anybody?